This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
I've just been joined by a couple of ladies that came in, and did you put your details in when you parked? Did you park?
Yes, yeah.
You've done all that? Yeah. We didn't have charge because we went into like a massive conversation. I thought I'd seen you on the television, and it turns out you have been on the TV with, what's his name?
Nick Knowles,
and so did you enjoy that, did you?
It was fascinating. It was the best weekend of my life.
Was it, though, trying to prove you had a personality?
Yeah.
Hey, look, ladies, just introduce yourself.
Oh, my name's Tracy Mikic, and I am the creative director of Boojum and Snark, which is based in Sandown.
Okay, and you are, madam?
I'm Teresa Grimaldi, and I'm a freelance artist.
A freelance artist.
Yes.
You look, when you came in, you look arty, and I thought you looked almost like clown-like, if you don't mind me saying
well,
so.
Actually, there's a nice link there, because Grimaldi is a clown name.
Is it?
Joseph Grimaldi was the first clown, and that's where Joey, the clown, comes from.
Oh, right, okay.
So, there's a link.
So can you tell me about Sandown, the Sandown clown, which lots of people know about, but I must have, missed
it. So, I mean, the Sandown clown is a piece of UF folklore that happened in 1973 in Sandown, just by the golf links course, where two young children heard a really strange noise and then followed it down to a brook where there was a 7-foot strangely attired man, or not man, we don't
entity,
know, an entity, splashing around looking for a book. They sort of ran away, and then the clown high-stepped out of the brook to a windowless hut on the golf course, and the kids got a little bit more brave and went towards it. He came out with a voice box and asked them if they were still there, and eventually introduced himself as All Colours Sam and asked them if they would like to go back to his windowless hut. This piece of this strange piece of high strangeness is like known throughout the world. There's a 500,000 views on one YouTube video. There's 200,000 on others. The comedian Daisy May Cooper, in her new book Hexy Witch, she has a whole chapter on the Sandown clown, and locally Marit Larwood, a comedian and actor, has written a zine and done a walk on the clown as well. So around the world it was like known, you know, quite extensively, but over here, and especially in Sandown, hardly anyone heard it at all.
Wow, so let's just backtrack then. This Sandown clown is real. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you tell me.
7 foot sounds a bit sort of, he might have been 6'5".
Well, we started an investigation about it. So it was part of a project that we ran this year at Boojum and Snark. Teresa co-created a big Sandown clown puppet that took part in the Sandown Carnival. But part of our investigation was to determine, you know, what is the Sandown clown? Is it a cheese dream? Is it
truth? Is it, you know, what is it?
Wow.
Is it the children using their imaginations and just notching it up to 11?
Are the children that you mentioned back in 1973, are they still alive here? Are they islanders?
Oh, well, this is interesting, isn't it? Mm. Because there's a folklorist in Sandown, Paul A.T. Wilson, who is supposedly the most informed person about the Sandown clown in the world.
In the world.
Self-confessed. And he apparently is in touch with Faye, the girl who was 7 in 1973, and she's shown him all kinds of classified documents and further information. But she doesn't want to reveal herself or you know, in that,
right,
make herself known. So she'll talk to him, but
not to anyone else.
Oh,
so
right.
The story continues.
So there's only one. Do we know what happened to the other young chap?
Oh,
Jack.
So yeah, there was two. There was Faye, and her father is known as Mr. Y, and then there was Jack, who was also known as the unknown boy. Both about 7, but the unknown boy was quite reticent to corroborate much
of the details. I think we forgot to say that the Mr. Y, which was Faye's father, when he found out his daughter told him all of this, he contacted the British UFO Journal because there was a chap called Leonard Cramp, who was a British engineer living in Ventnor, I think it is, but a big investigator into UFOs. And he persuaded him to report it to the British UFO Journal, who did an investigation several years later. So in 1978, there was an extensive investigation into the children's encounter with the Sandown clown that appeared in their magazine, which is probably where most of everything stems from. But the level of detail is just so weird, bizarre and strange.
I mean, Sam, he did tricks with a, he did a berry trick while the children went into the hut. So he put a berry in his ear and it came out of his mouth, nose, past eye, everywhere, all round his face. And, you know, was he just, was he testing to see if the berry was poisonous?
Oh, right, a berry.
Was he doing a test?
A berry, not a beret.
A berry.
Yeah,
no,
I thought, I just pictured a beret come out of someone's eye.
He didn't wear a beret.
So he was, you know, a trickster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did all this kind of water testing.
Yeah. And the way they described him, so he was 7 foot, he had yellow immovable lips, he had a button nose, he had triangles for eyes, scruffy bedraggled hair under a yellow hat?
Yellow hat.
And then he's got a green tunic, scruffy white trousers with little kind of slats that appear.
Wooden
slats. And then he has three-fingered
hands. Blue-gloved.
Yeah, blue-gloved hands.
And antennae.
And antennae. And the description, and the Biofora magazine contains sort of illustrations, is, you know, that it's a massive level of detail for a cheese dream, you know, that they really kind of drill down into it. And like I said, the berry-eating trick was unusual.
Yeah.
They asked him various questions. Are you a ghost?
And of course, are you a ghost or alien, you know, a being? Are you friendly?
Yeah.
He said he was,
but people
friendly.
Didn't like, but people, he was scared of people.
Yeah, so, and he also had the microphone and the little kind of amplifier.
Right.
Which was a kind of way to translate what he was saying.
Yeah.
But in the end, he didn't need it to communicate with them. But yeah, so you got this kind of almost karaoke entertainer type vision as well.
How brilliant.
Yeah.
How brilliant. And he just disappeared.
Yeah, so they spent about 30 minutes with him and then they went away, and there was two workmen apparently nearby, and they said, we've just seen a ghost, and the workmen apparently shooed them away because it wasn't in their orbit of reality. The workmen didn't see it. So no. That's another, you know, another rabbit hole you can go
builders.
Down.
Builders.
Yeah. Look in the other way, always.
That was it. What was our joke? How many workmen does it take to see a 7 foot clown? Definitely not two in this case.
Yeah.
So the only person that this young lady that is willing to speak to is Paul A.T. Wilson.
Paul A.T. Wilson.
And
so she would be in her early 60s now.
Yeah.
Apparently still lives in Lake.
Right.
And has the original book that went into the stream, and he was picking the book out of the stream when the children first met him. She has the original book.
And also Paul has said that she had several other encounters with him that went on until she was in her early 20s. Again, they're not documented apart from with Paul A.T. Wilson.
So is this being created into some kind of book, some kind of show, or...?
So, I mean, there are various books, you know, around the world that have been created as little kind of artist
zines.
Books or zines. We've also got the Isle of Wight entity case, which goes into detail about some of the documents that were found and scanned, and all the kind of missing bits of information are in there. But that, when did that come out? That came out.
So that's the entity case is the Flying Disc Press,
yeah.
And that is the actual full case file, the full British UFO, or Bufora, we call it, Bufora and After, but it's the Bufora sort of magazine file, so you can buy that, you know, you can do a search and buy that, the entity case.
And you were actually featured in a magazine as well.
Wow. So the whole idea of Sandown Clown, Sandown Sam returning to Sandown, and this new kind of interest in it made it to the Fortean Times, which is the world's weirdest news magazine. And it's been going since 1973.
Again, strange.
Coincidentally.
Whoa. Yeah. That's...
Tingles.
And so we have a four-page spread, which is very exciting, in November's edition of the Fortean Times.
How brilliant.
Yeah. So, and that's a kind of magazine you can buy from your newsagent, or there's an online digital version as well. So it goes into the backstory. It also goes into some of the activities that we've been involved in the summer, mm-hmm, in Sandown. It goes into an event that Paulie A.T. Wilson put on up at Bembridge Fort, coincidentally at the same time, you know, all this interest is bubbling up. So he did a talk about the Sandown Clown, which was really well attended. And the evidence board.
Yes, so that was an installation that we had at Boojum and Snark in the summer, and it's now part of a larger exhibition at the Key Arts Centre, which is on until Saturday the 29th of November. And the evidence board is crackers, really. Go on.
So
he's not there's a crackers a clown on the island as well. Yeah.
So you know, in all the detective movies, they have this board. They sometimes call it a crazy wall, evidence board, where they get the string out and make the connections between different hypotheses and theories and bits of evidence. We made one of those for the Sandown Clown. So it had, some facts from the Sandown Clown HQ, SCHQ, and it had different sort of theories about whether it was an alien, a clown, prank,
outsider.
Dream. Was it an outsider, a lonely outsider who just wanted to make some friends? But having fun being shabby detectives ourselves and presenting this to a group of, you know, specially selected detectives.
Best brains of
best brains on the Isle of Wight, I would say. So we had an evening where we kind of almost role-played this, to get new bits of hypothesis and evidence from other detectives, the brains. And it just went on to become a really interesting live kind of piece of art, really.
Yeah.
And but we came up with some new hypothesis,
angles.
Some new angles.
Celebrity angles.
Celebrity angles, like, as you will.
Here we go.
So... Do you remember That Will Be the Day, the film?
Oh, yeah, 1973.
Bingo. So, David Essex, Ringo Starr, hanging around in Sandown.
Both with a penchant for wearing high shoes and clowns.
They both wore clown makeup in certain parts of their celebrity lives. In the first scene of That Will Be the Day, David Essex is in the classroom
with Robert Lindsay.
Yeah. They used Sandown High School as the location for that. He's had enough of school. He gets out of there.
Yeah.
He's got his bag with all his school books, exercise books in, throws them into the stream.
He does.
Yeah. And maybe in clown makeup, we can't be sure.
But that is the self same area of running water that the clown picks out the book to show to the children. So. Now, Ringo Starr, of course, was in the film as well. Drummer. Sandown Clown's antennae look a little bit like drumsticks. So, how on earth, Ringo Starr being only 5'8", could he be mistaken for a Sandown Clown that's 7 foot? What do you reckon?
It's the platforms.
I was going to say, back in 1973, They all wore platform shoes, didn't they?
And Ringo loved a platform.
Yeah.
Mm. He did.
That's so, quite a big platform, though, isn't it?
It's a very big platform. But, you know, maybe the pair of in one on the shoulders of the other, having a jape, like yeah. clowns do. So we put that out there as a new hypothesis. Now, when that's read in the 14 times,
it they blew
have
up.
They yeah. have an online forum. Now, if you look at that now, live today, you'll see everyone's debating the truth of Ringo and David.
Wow.
Being the original.
Could it be?
There was others in that film as well. I'm just trying to think, were they tall enough, though? That's the thing. Because he had a band, didn't he? And I think people like... Oh, crikey, he was the guy that had a hit with I Hear You Knocking. Dave Edmonds, he was in the film as well, wasn't he? And then there was a bloke that played Troy Tempest, who was a big rock and roll star. Yeah, he was tall.
So anyway, there's another area of investigation that's live.
That's currently live.
So going back to 1973 then, this is something that happened. Two young people were... Mm. And by putting it out there, so people come and see the... You know, what you've got going down at the Key Arts Centre, they come and have a look at that and it might trigger their minds and they might come forward and say, I saw that as well.
I think, Ian, that's what we would really much like to find out, who knew about it at the time. There are a few people that have said, including actually that young chap that was helping us do the installation, you know, that they remembered being told about the Sandown Clown. But as far as we remember... there's hardly anybody, and I certainly don't remember being talked about at the time. No. Yeah, so it's one of those strange things. It completely sort of slipped, you know, slipped through our consciousness as islanders, but has ended up literally all around the world. Russia, China, America, you know.
It's a bit like the lion. If you remember, there was a lion when you drove up out of Sandown, got to the crossroads, didn't you, at Brading, went up around the hill, and if you look right, there was a lion that was in a window in one of these big houses. That was there for years and years and years, and then someone added one, and people used to talk about that the whole time, and I think that's now disappeared, hasn't
right.
it? It's not there anymore.
Yes,
so it sounds like an incredible story.
There's... Yeah. Something we omitted to talk about just then, which is the Xanadu Collective.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that. Yeah, so... Yeah.
So the Xanadu Collective came to the Isle of Wight with this story that they've made a Sandown Clown, just out of the blue.
Never been to the Isle of Wight.
Made a Sandown Clown. They run out of they're lecturers at Goldsmiths University and were in the workshop at the university making this 7-foot version of the Sandown Clown as a sculpture. They wanted to present that to Sandown as a gift, and this just weirdly was happening at the same time that we were uncovering it. Yeah. So now is part of the exhibition.
Yep.
The big sculpture icon of Sam the Sandown Clown, and now we have this connection with people, you know, at the university with David and Natalia, and it's kind of adding to the bigger story, which is brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how do people want to, if they want to know more and get more involved and see more, what do they do?
Well, first of all, you've got a fantastic opportunity not only to kind of find out about the story, but contribute to the story if you go to the Key Arts Centre, because we've got a live investigation there. And they can fill out, they can be briefed and fill out a sheet on their hypotheses. And, you know, that can carry on going in towards what we plan to do. Because I think we're hoping to do more with it next year. So that's that. They can go to boojamansnart.co.uk and look at our website, because I've put all the links to all the other information, you know, from the Marit Larwood to the Xanadu Collective to the Bufora, the original Bufora. So you can get quite a lot of information and go down your own rabbit hole from there. So and just do it if you do a search online.
Yeah. The Sandown Clown.
You just search, like I say, Daisy May Cooper is
that's incredible. It's in her book and other people's as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so. And I say, I used to go to Sandown roughly at that time.
Yeah.
We would go over and spend time at the beach. Mm. We would go because it was a big where the sailing centre is now. That was all grass, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You'd go and park your car, and then you go and sit on the beach and so on. And we were there roughly that age. And I'm guessing just across the road there is the golf club that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So that period of time, must have been a lot of people that. Someone knows something.
Somebody knows something, mm. or knows Faye. Maybe there was a friend of Faye at school.
Yeah.
If Faye won't talk to us, maybe one of her friends.
Do we know
will.
What Faye's last name is?
We don't.
Well, somebody said King. Faye King.
But, you know, if someone's listening and you know anything about this story and Faye, who maybe would have been seven.
Or are you the unknown boy?
Yeah. I think we need to have a word with Paul A.T. Wilson, don't you?
I think you do.
Bring him in next.
I think he's the first suspect.
have a word with him.
One last thing to bear in mind. Think about the test card.
Yeah.
That was at 1973. Girl.
Yeah.
Clown.
Yeah.
Clown, very similar to clown in description as our clown.
Right. Okay.
Not a lot of television going on at the time. You know, people would have been looking at that a lot. Maybe that was the inspiration for our children.
Hey, who knows? Is there anything else you want to add?
Also, what we've forgotten is that the clown continues to inspire people, and Teresa's done an installation based on the Windowless Hut, which is at the Key Art Centre, and that's quite interesting to look at because you're restricted in what you can view. You have to view it through an aperture, but it's a world, it's a sort of portal into the world of the unknown boy and Faye. I don't know if you want to say anything more about that, Teresa.
So really, it's looking into the world that the children would have been when they went into the hut. So, you know, 1970s wallpaper, the annuals.
Lizzie dripping.
Lizzie, a little kind of Blue Peter style television. What would the Sandown clown have had in the hut?
I don't know. Probably a picture of Ringo Starr.
Well.
Or David Essex maybe at that time because he was on everyone's wall, wasn't he?
He was on mine, that's for sure.
Hey, look, ladies, thank you very much for coming in. It's been a pleasure to spend some time with you. It's been like being around two characters from French and Saunders, so and it's been a whole load of fun. Thank you.
Never forget Sam of All Colours.
Hopefully we'll see you all soon.
Thank you.
The clown as well. Bring the clown with you next time. And Paul A.T. Wilson, I've got questions.